Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is the acclaimed Dr. Sheena C. Howard, who has written an Eisner Award-winning book called Black Comics, Politics of Race and Representation. She also compiled the Encyclopedia of Black Comics, and her latest book from our good friends over at Ben Bella, Why Wakanda Matters, What Black Panther Reveals About Psychology, Identity, and Communication. And it is my honor to be talking to another Black woman who believes in the power of comics. So welcome, Sheena.
Thank you so much, and absolutely believe in the power of comics. Yes.
So how did you come across comics as a medium and decided, oh yeah, this is going to be my wheelhouse?
So, you know, I did my dissertation at Howard University on Black comic strips, and I specifically focused on the Boondocks, which, you know, every year that I talk about my origin story means that younger people are further and further away from knowing that the Boondocks was a comic strip first. But I did my dissertation on that, and I was at Howard University, where if you're going to find a book on, you know, the history of Black anything, it would definitely be at Howard University's library. And in putting my dissertation together, I just could not find a book that focused on the history of Black people creating comics or the history of Black comics in general. And it was very frustrating. And so from there, I really dedicated much of my work to trying to fill that void, you know, talking about the history of Black creators in comics, the history of Black characters in comics, and just the history of the Black comics ecosystem. And that's where it started for me.
That blows my mind. It's like, I cannot find the research material I need for my work. I'm going to go off and create it.
Yeah, you said it exactly right. Yep, that's what happened.
Oh, that is dedication. So from winning an Eisner Award for Black Comics, Politics of Race and Representation, where did that path take you to get to putting together Why Wakanda Matters?
So yeah, from that first book, Black Comics, Politics of Race and Representation, winning that Eisner Award just solidified for me that, you know, I was on the right track in what I was thinking about, you know, documenting the history of Black comics and, you know, trying to bridge the gap between like the comics industry, but the importance of academic research around comics. Because when I was studying comics in academe, trust me, it was not the cool thing to do. I got a lot of side eyes. I got a lot of academics saying, what? Why are you studying that? But I just stayed the course, because if you understand Black history, you understand that it's important for us to document our stories and our progress and the way our art actually has power in helping us overcome. And I felt like comics was just that neglected area that we had yet to treat in sort of that historical, political fashion.
And that amazes me, because there were no less than 4 separate academic conferences on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, granted, Buffy was a groundbreaking TV show in its time, and it spawned off a whole lot of other thought-provoking series and commentary, but to have 0 about the history of Black comics before, you know, 20 years, and until the past 20 years, is kind of mind-blowing.
Right, and that's exactly right, and that's kind of, you know, that's what I just wanted to see, this recognition, appreciation, and preservation for the Black comics ecosystem. And I'm just so pleased about where we've come with comics and diversity these days from where I started around 2010 in studying comics, you know, we've made great progress as far as, you know, diversity in comics and, you know, higher ed taking comics as a serious literary and academic pursuit. And then just sort of the access that creators have to create comics. It's been wonderful to see.
I like that comics, especially graphic novels, have expanded their reach to the point where now you can put out a comic that is 8 or 10 or 12 limited issues. It's not a ongoing run. You can tell a complete story and have something tangible that will last. You don't have to worry about, well, will next month's issue be the last one? Will it be canceled? And I think that shift is good for comics. I think there's still a distribution model and a story model that needs to be updated or reimagined, shall we say. But the fact that people are taking the stories that are in the comics more seriously, more just from an academic and a storytelling, an award-winning storytelling look is, to me, heartwarming.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And just to elaborate on something you said, you know, the way that an industry grows and survives is when it intersects with other industries, right? And so I've been saying this for the last 10 years that the more people from different industries that we can get to interact with comics, create comics, participate in comics, the better comics ecosystem we have, the more we can be sure that the industry grows and survives and doesn't go bankrupt. And you can see that happening. You know, I'm an academic who now writes comics. You know, if we get physicists writing comics, right, and contributing to comic books, and if we get historians, you know, all these different people in different areas just intersecting with comics, it helps the medium grow and survive.
And with you know, Hollywood these days being, you know, distracted by fear of failure, I'm gonna say, they don't want to touch a property, they don't want to make it a movie, a mini series, a TV series, unless there's something else tangible to hold on to. And it's probably hard work, just as hard work as putting a novel out there, but putting a graphic novel out there is something tangible. It's already got the images. It's already planting that seed of how the creator would want that world to look should it ever make the jump to Netflix or Hulu.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And there is a lot of fear around, you know, creating new or diverse content or, you know, trying out a new superhero that no one's ever seen before and, you know, spending the money to turn it into a actual television series or movie. There is a lot of fear around that. And some of it, I think, are myths that are just perpetuated and which I call, you know, cultural gatekeeping. You know, we see that you know, with the Wonder Woman movie and with the Black Panther movie, we see how well those did. But you know, all the time before that, there was a myth that, you know, people don't want to see a Black superhero on screen, or internationally a Black superhero won't sell. And we see that those movies, you know, shattered those myths. And so you no longer can tell that lie. And so some of it might be fear, but some of it is just the myths that the cultural gatekeepers continue to feed to us or try to feed to us.
I think it's a huge blind spot. You know, a whole lot of people think was like, well, we had that one Black movie come out last year. Aren't you happy? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Are you kidding me?
Right.
It's like there can be more than one, really. You know, it's not a monolithic culture or identity or series of identities, but we digress.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And we've had to, you know, get over that myth as well, historically. You know, we only can have, you know, one black family on television, or we can only have, you know, one black male, you know, superstar actor. And, you know, same thing with comics. You know, it's that's true. Can we have more than one you know, superhero movie besides Black Panther? And, you know, so there are all of these historical things that we have to, you know, keep challenging.
Yep. And this, the deep dive of study that your essayists put together for this book, this is one of those deep dive volumes that you can't read it in a quick setting. There's a lot to process, and it's delicious because of that. First, I want to talk about the different topics, main topics you have in here. You have part one, the psychology of collective identity and connectedness. Part two, the psychology of racial identity. Part three, the psychology of intergenerational trauma and resistance. That was triggering. And the psychology of cognition and identification. What, when you were putting together what you wanted this book to be as a complete work, as a finished work, what was it that caused you to break those down in those sections and then find people who had the chops to write the way you wanted them to write?
So the way that I can describe putting together these edited books like this, and I've done a number of them, the best way to think about it is how you would film a documentary. You know, people that do documentaries, they always say, you know, you can't really control the narrative too much because you just have to go where the story goes, right? Mm-hmm. If you're following someone's life, you don't know, you know, what's going to happen in the year that you're following them around with the camera. And it's almost like that, putting together an edited book like this. So, you know, I started out with the idea, and the original name of the book that I proposed was called The Psychology of Black Panther. And I was really trying to understand how this movie was not only such a cultural phenomena, but the psychology behind it, because some things happened that I hadn't seen before with this movie, such as celebrities buying movie theaters out and sending kids to the movie theater, and let alone the records it broke as far as how much money it generated and all those types of things. And I was like, what is the psychology behind that? You know, yes, we've all been waiting to see Black Panther, you know, at least all of the, you know, a lot of the Black community have been waiting, but I felt that there was something deeper going on there and I wanted to understand it better. And so I'm like, what better way to understand it than to talk to, you know, mental health professionals and therapists and social workers to try to connect the psychological things in the movie, to, you know, the Black community. And so it just kind of grew from there. And I like to invite people to write chapters in my edited books, you know? So I'll send some emails out and say, hey, you know, I have this book. I kind of know the topics that I want to include. Would you be interested in writing a chapter like this? But I also do send out some targeted calls to people who want to submit chapters. And that's where it gets really interesting, because then you don't know what ideas people are going to send you. And you have to decide, you know, you have to decide what chapters are going to fit in the book and what chapters aren't. And so, you know, you decide, and then once you get the chapters, you know, it's your job as the editor to fit those into the different categories based on the submissions that you've gotten. And that's how you pretty much start to formulate, you know, what the book's going to look like and what it's going to focus on. And you know, my thing with comics is I'm learning, right? I'm trying to learn comics as well. So when I do these books, it's a learning experience for me, which is why you don't see me spending like 3 years studying psychologies just so I can write the book alone, right? Most of my work, if you look at it, it's a group effort. It could not happen without the people that are involved.
But it requires a steadfast and decisive commander leading mm-hmm. the way. And I think that's absolutely what you've gotten that down, Pat. We're out of the essays that were sent in for there. Were there any surprises? Were there any really good ones that you couldn't use?
There were a few that I had to, decline, but it really was because I got a lot of chapters that wanted to focus on Killmonger, and it just would have been an imbalanced book because it would have been all about Killmonger. And so those were some of the reasons why I had to decline a few of the submissions, because you have to have a balanced book. Like you said, the book is sectioned out into parts, and you want the parts to be, you know, kind of equal, you know, a few chapters in each part.
Cool. So what did you learn about Black Panther from the essays that were submitted that had like a point of view or a take that you hadn't considered before? Like, you know, was there one that surprised you and went, oh man, wow.
You know, I really appreciated chapter 9, Black Radical Thought as Pathology in Black Panther. Charles Athanasopoulos, I actually interviewed him on my podcast, Why Wakanda Matters. And I really liked his chapter because it wasn't all, you know, we love Black Panther and we love everything we see in the movie. He was very critical of, I wouldn't say very, but, you know, he was critiquing the movie for some of the things he felt were harmful towards African-American representation in the film. And there are a couple of chapters that critique the film. And I love that, right? I didn't just want to have a book that talked about how awesome the representation was in Black Panther. We also want to do some critiquing of what we're seeing in the media as well. So I think that chapter, I think people reading the book would appreciate that point of view to understand how the film sort of pathologizes, you know, African-Americans who might have radical points of view without also, you know, glorifying, you know, the violence that Killmonger brought to the narrative.
Mm-hmm. So what one or two points, perspectives are there that you would want people who are picking up the book for the first time to keep in mind or to look for?
So I really like the stuff about intergenerational trauma. I think it's eye-opening, and in a way that the reader can, I think, consume it a little bit better, because you're learning about intergenerational trauma through a film, right? So it makes it a little bit easier to read and just process, right? And they talk about intergenerational trauma a lot through Killmonger, you know, his history, his upbringing, you know, what led him to think the way that he thought. But I also like, in this book, we have essayists who talk about T'Challa's upbringing and how just your upbringing, your environment shapes not only your outcomes, but your worldview, because T'Challa needed to be challenged in the way that he thought as well, right? He needed to think outside of, you know, his nationalism, to be quite frank, mm-hmm. and to understand that, you know, you live on a planet with other people and you have the tools to help other people. And if we live in this collective world, you should think about, you know, engaging in the world in a collective way. And so even if we might have an quote unquote ideal upbringing, you know, there's still disadvantages, right? There's still things that you need to learn, right? There's still perspectives that need to be challenged, even if you have that quote unquote, you know, ideal upbringing.
Mm-hmm. There's, like I said, there's a lot to digest in this book, and it overall is a wonderful, wonderful read. There was an essay in there about the women that was like literally just kind of hit. And where is it? I can't find it right now, but there was just something profound, and it's like, this becomes a habit. The women are the ones who have to pick up the pieces. And even if they can't put the pieces back together right then, they have to guard those pieces so that they can be put together at a later time. I'm like, yikes, that's deep. And we need more idea stirring like that. But this book, like I said, I would recommend it to people who are fans of comics, to people who are fans of Black Panther. My own comics history, I didn't start collecting comics till I was in college, and X-Men was the first comic I started collecting as a title. And it wasn't until like a year later that I remembered. I'm like, wait a minute, the very, very first comic I ever bought was in a corner drugstore when I was 9 or 10 years old, and it was Black Panther.
Nice.
And it was just the stunningness of this one cover. And I found, I'm like, oh wow, yeah, I remember this. And I didn't know anything about comics back then. It never dawned on me to go back to that corner store the next month and see if there was the next issue of Black Panther. Otherwise, I would have been collecting Black Panther from a long, long time ago. But that's the great thing about comics. Different people, different ideas, putting out different stories, and we learn from all of them. So, Sheena, what are you working on now that people can go check out?
What am I working on now? So I do have a couple of things from DC Comics coming out in the fall, so very soon, September, October. Yes, I am allowed to talk about one of them. The other one I'm not allowed to talk about, but I did write. I gotta remember in my head which I can talk about and what I can't. But I wrote a short Wonder Woman story that's coming out in it's called Wonder Woman Black and Gold. It's going to be issue number 6. My story comes out in, I think it's November. And yeah, so anybody listening should go check it out, get it on your pull list at your comic shop, or follow me on Twitter so you can stay abreast as to when that's going to come out. And yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So where can people find you on Twitter? Find out what
So,
other trouble you're stirring up.
hell yeah. I try to be good. On Twitter, at Dr. Sheena Howard. So that's DrSheenaHoward. I do have a fan page on Facebook, Dr. Sheena Howard. And I am on Instagram, at Dr. Sheena Howard as well. Twitter is where I do most of my talking. Instagram is just mostly pictures of me and my kid.
Do you have a website too?
SheenaCHoward.com. So yeah, all my information's on my website, and my website is up to date. And lots of cool things you can do on my website, like book calls with me, book services, learn about the projects I'm working on, all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. Once again, the book is Why Wakanda Matters: What Black Panther Reveals About Psychology, Identity, and Communication. Dr. Sheena Howard, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up to date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered, in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama. From heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all. Take a ride with us at escapepod.org and buckle up, because it's story time.
Hi guys, this is Tom Allison, and I play Tree on Killjoys, and you're listening to A Slice of Sci-Fi.
And once again, the book is Why Wakanda Matters, What Black Panther Reveals About Psychology, Identity, and Communication. It's a Ben Bella collection, edited by Dr. Howard. The pop culture series put out by Ben Bella, it has long been a favorite of mine. Many, many years ago, I contributed to the Battlestar Galactica one. I was invited to contribute to the Game of Thrones one, but I had too much on my plate at the time. But if you're a pop culture addict who wants to read opinions on what other people may have on various pop culture topics, Ben Bella Books' Smart Pop Books is a good place to start. Another one is Sequart. The Sequart organization is beyond elbow deep in comic book knowledge and newer player on the block is ATB Publishing. They have published books on Star Trek, Doctor Who, the two newest books on the X-Files I have essays in. They are putting together one on Babylon 5. I can't wait to see that. So there's a lot out there for connoisseurs and consumers of all things pop culture. The other books by Dr. Howard are the Encyclopedia of Black Comics and the Eisner Award-winning Black Comics, Politics of Race and Representation. You can find those at your favorite retailers. I will have links to where you can find some of those. And I recommend Why Wakanda Matters. If you are a Black Panther fan, if you are curious about going beyond what we've seen in the movie so far, what may be coming up in Black Panther 2, who knows? But what are your thoughts on Black Panther? Either the movie or the comic books. The history of that character, what that character represents to the greater world at large and to the denizens of the Marvel Universe, not just the cinematic universe, the comic book universe too. Let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Or come on by the website, leave a comment in the show notes for this episode, sliceofscifi.com. Or, as always, ask a question on Twitter, @sliceofscifi. I will do my best to answer or point you in a direction of an answer because I geek like that. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, consider leaving us a review or a rating. It helps raise the profile of this show, let other people find it easier so they can check it out. And you can do the same if you are a member of Podchaser. Leave a rating or a comment review over there. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping to support Slice of Sci-Fi and all of the podcasts and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe, your pledges through Patreon, your donations through PayPal, and hopefully very soon Ko-fi, do indeed keep all of the websites here online. The Slice of Sci-Fi universe includes Writers After Dark, Babylon Podcast, Charlie Jade, A Different Point of View, and a few others. So those podcasts, those websites stay up and running thanks to your generous donations. If you'd like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Pick a tier, any tier, and you will be eligible for perks. Every month I pick a winner out of the hat. That person gets to choose from a DVD, a Blu-ray, a 4K, a book. I get a lot of review materials here, and I'm not in a position to keep them all because I don't have a lot of space. So the listeners and supporters of Slice of Sci-Fi and Writers After Dark and Babylon Podcasts, all you guys get first dibs. And if a donation every now and then is more your style, the link you can use there is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. And like I said, very soon you'll be able to add occasional donations or monthly donations through Ko-fi as soon as I get all the little bits and bytes straightened out over there. And that will do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.